have this great feast of the Ascension. I was talking to a couple of folks today, and they said, yeah, Ascension's okay, but Pentecost, that's the feast I'm looking for. Well, I'm going to try to frame this feast so when you walk out of here, it's going to be one of your favorite feasts of the year. That's what I'm going to attempt to do today. God only knows if it'll work, so don't bother to tell me because I don't need to know. I like to live in... First of all, Sister Rose Pichette, is it? Bissette, is she here? Sister, would you stand up? This great woman is going to speak tonight after our Mass is over in our Trepp Center, I think. Is that right? And your work, I know she's a very famous person in the world of values and film and the relationship that all this great world of ours has and the implications of that on our life and on our decisions. Is that right? Close, okay. Well, then tell me a little bit more. Good. Great. And you're a sister from which? Daughters of St. Paul. You have that great bookstore down there on Culver City. Yeah. Let's welcome Sister Rose then to us. Thank you. Thanks, Sister. It's great. So all you great people of this wonderful land that you live in, be sure you're here and have some good discussion after. Also, tonight we have Talitha Phillips. As you know, our church has been extraordinary in its, we're not always extraordinary, but in this particular area of life, the whole issue of life, the seamless garment, from the moment of conception until the very end of life, there is a consistent belief that all of life is sacred. And so there are many issues that we will face in this election. As an example, the death penalty. That's a big issue. And we need to look at that. We also have a great issue of people who make the choice of having a child, especially against very difficult odds. And the Westside Pregnancy Center is doing an extraordinary thing of helping people, having made that decision to make sure that they find whatever is necessary. We can talk about the issue of life, but we have to do something about it. And so this particular woman has a whole center, clinic, three actually, right in the West Side, and they do extraordinary work in the issue of the choice of people to have their child, either to keep their child or to adopt their child. But there it is. It's a tremendous gift. And even for those who have chosen abortion, there is a whole care for folks if they look for and need that care, having made that decision. So I want you to stay till the end of Mass tonight and just hear from this good woman. It's a positive message, and it's a great message of life that we need to hear. Talitha Phillips. Three women from St. Monica's in 1977 created the first center. Isn't that beautiful? Westside Pregnancy Center. Praise God. So those are two great things. So I don't have to talk too much tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Here's the story. Be attentive now. Don't go to sleep on me. I think it frames this Feast of the Ascension, and I hope it will give us just some small little insight into what this great moment in the life of Jesus Christ is then and for us now. I'm collecting African stories, and this is one of the great African stories that I think is worthy of our retelling tonight. It's about two small villages, and in those two villages, separate villages, there are two people who simply make chairs. That's their work. They make chairs. But two have very different attitudes about life. So I want you to listen to the descriptive of both of these people. Maybe think about where you are in relationship to that, where you and I are in relationship to that. And what can we do about that in relationship to this great feast that we celebrate? So here it is. The chairmaker in the first village was afraid to teach others, because he thought that if they got involved in making these chairs, they wouldn't do it as well as he could do it. He made the best chairs. And he was afraid. But if truth be told, he was also afraid that they might just get a little better and cut into his fame, his chair making, maybe even his profit. And so jealously, he guarded his work. He became suspicious of anyone with wood, worried that somehow they might discover his secret.
Oh, yes.
He would ridicule them. He would talk about them. He would denigrate them and warn them not to try and make a chair themselves. And so he made all the chairs in that village, every one of them. But no one wanted to get near the guy. And the young people of the village, interested in woodworking, left the village rather than try to ask him a question or even begin to learn something from him. Eventually, the chair maker did die. Happens to all of us. He died. And guess what? The secret, his secret of chair making, died with him. There's the one guy. There's another village, another chair maker. In this second village, he didn't keep his knowledge to himself. He helped anyone who would ask what wood to use, how to plane, how to cut the pieces, how to mix the glue, to assemble the pieces. Over years, many young people from the village served as his apprentice. Sometimes one of them would discover a way, lo and behold, to improve the chair. The master chair maker would rejoice in that, would hold it up, would be grateful that someone was doing it better, that others discovered what he had learned. And as a result, the chairs in that village just kept getting better and better and better. People from other villages would come and buy these excellent chairs. And soon, the apprentices were flourishing. When people praised the master chair maker, he laughed and he said, "I never built a chair alone. These young people have improved my chairs. I'm getting old. But these young people will continue building better and better chairs. I have given my skills and my knowledge to them, and they have given me." Listen to this, folks. "I gave them my knowledge and my skill, and they have given me their love and their friendship." Together, we've done far more than if I had worked alone. What do you think this ascension is about? Our Lord trusts these disciples. He says, "Folks, I've given it my best shot. I've loved you with all my heart. Now you go do it. I've given you the tools. I've certainly given you the message. I've attempted to give you the love. Go out. It's yours." I actually think this is one of the great secrets of life. If we get into whatever our position or place or circumstance or love is in our life, and we hold on to it like this for dear life, you know what we end up with? We end up with this. alone, by ourselves. But if our attitude is to see and to help and to encourage and to allow others to flourish, to grow, to love. See, I'm just so much of the mind that maybe it's because I've been at this so long, but we're really all the same. I mean, we do it different ways and we all have different things, but fundamentally, we're all just making our way. Yes, we are, ultimately, making our way. So we need to do it not alone. We need to do it together. We need to enrich each other by our support and care. And the only way that that will happen, it seems to me, is if we do the same with those around us. So I think we have to throw away our jealous thoughts. I think we have to dismiss those bitter things that get inside us, you know, at times. What do you call them? Pardon me? Resentments, yeah. That's what I was thinking. Resentments. Yes, it is. Because we can live there. And we will die there. So I think the ascension is, I'm not saying the Pentecost isn't great. It is, thank God. But this is a great feast. And we've got the model. We have the gift. We got the message. And so in that generosity, in that goodness of heart, let's try to get through this week in great joy and peace.